from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Every day is a blessing. You get to be able to play in the NFL is a privilege.
Back to the Morning Shift.
Live from Flowery Branch for Falcons Training Camp. Exclusive camp coverage is brought to you by attorney Ken Nugent. Getting the settlement you deserve after an accident.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's 7 a.m. The Morning Shift is live from Flowery Branch up here in the 92.9 special studio. You guys have seen our clocking in videos on at the 929 Morning Shift. Twix, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, X account. You know what I'm talking about. So if you haven't seen it, go over there. You can catch all those clocking in videos at 929 Morning Shift. We roll on here from Flowery Branch. It's an interesting weekend ahead, or a week ahead, I should say, for the Atlanta Falcons. A little bit of craziness going on. They will practice today. And then, Bo, they will actually be traveling later today, I believe, to get down to Miami, where they will practice for the next couple of days. They did this last year. You were kind of along for the ride and got to see most of it. But it's a cool couple of days, I think, to just get out of Flowery Branch and, you know, get to hit somebody in another uniform.
Yeah, they'll fly late this afternoon, I'm assuming, you know, maybe that 5 or 6 time frame, and get down there. You have 2 days of practice, the joint practice. You get a day off, which will be Thursday. Kind of recoup, you know, gather yourself, and then Friday night at 7 o'clock, pregame will start at 5 o'clock on 92.9 The Game, and you'll see the first action. As a player, and you guys can probably both answer this because you know you, Nicky, you married to a former player, and Mike, I think you played a little bit.
I tried to.
No, kid, because you know he's a former national. He's an All-American, all national right. champion, former Falcon. Right. Gordon, you didn't all know right. that. He loves it when I do that, Nicky. But you know, how much do you get out of it? Just getting to hit someone that you're not supposed to be friends with or cool with, or you know, in a have their back, right? You get to really go at somebody. Kind of the first time you kind of really. Really get your aggression out, or am I wrong?
I think that when you're an offensive lineman, and I'm assuming it's like this for a lot of other positions, but sometimes when you're doing like one-on-one pass rush or you're in these situations and you're going against the same guy, I mean, did a million pass rush reps against Croy Bierman. You know what I mean? And it turns into a little bit of a chess match to where you're like, I know he did this last time, so I know I can try to do this time. And it's not always realistic, right? Because it's not like an in-game situation where he's got to have contain or he's worried about the quarterback breaking the pocket or he's, you know, there's not all these other things. So it turns into a little bit of a one-on-one chess match that you're not really getting as much out of. So sometimes when you go and do practices against, I mean, God, when I was here, we did the Texans,
Patriots.
The Patriots. We did the Titans. We did Miami. We did Jacksonville. I was telling the story about Jack Del Rio running laps after Jacksonville practice just in his khaki shorts and belt. You know, took his polo off, and he's like, let me get this exercise in.
Weird dude.
We would do these practices. It's always funny, though, to line up against people that you had not played against. And it's way more realistic because you can watch film all you want to, but you have to, you know, kind of react and do all that in real time. So big week for a lot of these guys coming up. It'll be a massive week for guys trying to make the team on special teams, right? Yeah. You want to go out and show that in those special teams periods in practice. But I do remember, Bo, and we'll get to these power rankings in just a second. I do remember it being very competitive last year when they took the field against the Dolphins, and that was a very good offense, to say the least. But I can't remember, you know, how that was kind of set up last year. But I remember getting good reports down there from a lot of people.
Yeah, it was, you know, what was that? We looked so much better than them up front last year when we did this with the Dolphins. I mean, we looked like we were dominating them. And then, you know, we had our own struggles, and they were, obviously a playoff caliber team. And I really think we're going to get a feel for how that secondary is constructed this week, because you're going against two of the better wide receivers in the league, one of which we'll talk about at some point where he fell on the NFL Network's top 100 players, whether you agree or don't disagree with his ranking. I don't agree with his. But you're playing some of the best, you know, and you got a quarterback in Tua who's pretty good. But you're also going to see how your receivers stack up and how your quarterback stacks up. So there's a lot of excitement. I think you're gonna be able to take out, and you just want good. Like, when you get done with this week, so Saturday morning you're waking up, what you should look at is how they did at the scrimmage as opposed to how they did in the game. Because that scrimmage is where you're going to see a lot of the work and they really put things in. The scrimmage, I don't know if you'll see any one. I mean, the game. Actual game,
yeah.
I don't know if you'll see any ones at all.
Yeah. I think it's going to be kind of interesting to watch. And Nick, you can speak on this too. The Falcons are at a point, and you compare them to the Dolphins, obviously, because that's what they'll be practicing this week. But there's so many more knowns about the Dolphins. Like, you know Tua got his money, and you know what Mike McDaniel is, and you know what Tyreek is, and Jalen Waddle, and all these other pieces. Obviously, you don't know much about Odell Beckham being down there, but there's a lot of knowns about the Miami Dolphins. It is a complete 180 when you talk about the Atlanta Falcons, to the point where you're right, Bill. I don't know that we'll see any starters, but I just can't wait to see this group, you know, and Rondell Moore and Ray with Kirk Cousins and Darnell Mooney and Drake actually line up. Nikki, I think that's going to be a lot of fun for people to get those videos coming out this week.
Yeah, I think any chance you can actually see, like, you know, everyone's talking about it,
yeah,
but to actually see it play out in front for the very first time, I think that's what the fans want to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're going to talk rankings, but I mean, the reality is 7-10 last year. I think fans just want to see.
Well, and the reality is you don't know.
Right.
And that's kind of the point when it comes to these rankings.
I love what she just said about the videos, because you know what you're going to see videos, and one day I'm sure it'll be open to the fans, and there'll be a closed day. That's what they normally do down there. They have the first day's open, the second's closed. You're going to see videos from fans. You're going to see the fight videos that fans are filming, because not all portions are open to film for media, mm-hmm, even when there are fans there.
Yeah.
But they can't stop the fans. And I've never understood why that's a thing. I kind of get a little bit of it because media, it's different. People are looking, but those videos get posted. They get posted. They can't control the fans. So you will see some more videos than you're used to than you've seen all training camp so far, the Falcons.
But it's still going to be a soundbite, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's not the whole story. So.
Yeah. And it never is. And that's why we sit there and just hinge on some of these videos that will pop out on Instagram.
Salivating.
And it'll go, yeah, it's always
Kirk
fun.
Even Kirk just running.
Yeah. That's right. Even Kirk just running and being mic'd up.
Yeah.
I want to get to these power rankings because – and look, this specific one from David Hillman, host of NFL on Fox podcast.
Yeah.
They got their 2024 NFL preseason rankings out. This is kind of where the Falcons fit on a lot of these preseason lists.
If you go to the highest that they've been.
Right, but I think it's they're all 17, 18, 19.
Right.
For David Hillman, and like I said, this is the NFL on Fox podcast, he's got him at 17. And I think a lot of Falcons fans probably wish they were higher, but when you start looking at the teams, and I think that's the beautiful thing of these rankings, you start looking at the teams and you start going, that's about right. Like, yeah, that's about right.
No, it's not. There's three teams on here that I think are too
high.
Here
he comes, the 707.
Here we go.
It's you were waiting for Mr. Negative to come out, weren't you?
We were waiting.
No, it's not.
Well, All right. How? Let me ask. I want you know, you guys just give me an honest answer. Why the hell are the Jets at 13?
I agree with you. I have no idea.
I mean,
like I said, though,
their veteran quarterback's coming off an injury just like ours, and same injury, and we were better than them last year. We beat them barely.
Here's what I'll say, though. There are teams behind us that beat us last year that I'm still trying to figure out why those things are the way they are.
Okay,
I mean, there's multiple ones.
Why are the Bears ahead of us?
The Bears, I don't know.
It's like, I got nothing.
No, but I mean, yeah. Like I said, you look right behind us. The Jags beat us handily last year.
Yeah, but they also went through that late season skid, which we went 1-1 too. So.
How about this one? You can go down to 22, 23, and 24. It's the Cardinals, Vikings, and Titans all beat us with guys, making their first start of the season? So that's a little bit frustrating to look at as well.
But
you got a team that closed out beating us by 30 and the Saints back there at 25.
Yeah, but now you do have to take in with these – so you have to take in an account with these teams in the offseason. That's what bothers me because the Jets at third – what did the Jets do this offseason?
Got better on the offensive line and got a healthy quarterback.
Yeah, we think. There's just as many questions about their quarterback's health as there are is ours.
Sure. But their quarterback's also a four-time MVP.
I think
ask questions about both.
But I mean, we didn't have a quarterback last year, and we still did better than them.
I agree, because the backup option for them was not good.
Chicago's starting a rookie with Matt Eberflus, a coach who, I mean, a lot of people thought should have been fired.
Let me get down these rankings, and just so everybody listening can kind of fill these in. First of all, 1-8, you got Chiefs, Niners, Lions, Eagles, Texans, Packers, Bengals, Ravens. I think the Texans are – look, I love D'Amico Ryans. He's one of my former college teammates. I think they're just a little bit inflated right now. I think they're kind of the darlings of the offseason. Everybody's waiting for that sophomore breakout for some of these guys. It's no shoo-in that it's going to happen, right? So then you get the next eight. You can go Bills, Browns at 10. Interesting. Rams, Cowboys, Jets, Bucks, Dolphins, Bears. All those teams are in front of the Atlanta Falcons on this. Right behind the Falcons, Falcons at 17. You got Jags, Steelers, Seahawks, Colts, Cardinals, Vikings, Titans. And then to round it out, Saints, Raiders, Chargers, Commanders, Giants, Patriots, Broncos, Panthers.
And
Panthers locked in at 32 on most of these lists.
How are the Ravens lower than honestly everyone but the Chiefs, Niners, and Lions? I could put them one. You know, could be right now. How are the Ravens at 8? And you have the Eagles, Texans, Packers, and Bengals above them. Again, Eagles, we don't know what they're going to be. I mean, we know they have some talent, but whatever that happened to them late last year, have they fixed it? Texans, yeah, they won a playoff game. The Packers won a playoff game. The Bengals are just bringing back an injured quarterback. I just don't see how the Ravens are so low either. It's not all in my feelings about the Falcons. I get the Bears being at 16 because they brought in so much help on offense, but they still have a rookie quarterback. We have no clue what Caleb Williams is going to be. No clue. Caleb Williams made his career in college living off schedule and making big plays off schedule. Can he get an NFL offense and learn how to live on schedule and thrive in that? I don't know.
I think when it comes down to it, I'm just fine with 17. Right now. And that's because there's so many unknowns about this team. And we can sit here and, guys, we can say all we want to. Well, they went out and signed Darnell Mooney. They got Kirk Cousins, which looks like a bargain now at $45 million a year. All this other stuff we can talk about. And obviously the Falcons, number one on a lot of our list because we want them to be great. But if we're being realistic about it, Zach Robinson's never called plays. Raheem Morris hasn't been a head coach in a while. So if they're going to settle in at 17 prior to the season and then get to week one, week two, week three, which are massive games and will be on a national scale, I'm fine with them kind of showing out and looking that way. So I'm good. 17, I'm good with it. All right, we got to hit a break here. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. When we come back, the Braves were rolling last week. They started stumbling over the weekend. We'll tell you why and who was at fault and what's coming up next for the Atlanta Braves. That's on the other side. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Another year, baby. Let's go.
Back to more of our training camp coverage.
Live from Flowery Branch with The Morning Shift. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Movement that inspires. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's The Morning Shift. Mikey P., Squid Billy, Nikki Noto Palmer, although I guess your husband, Mikey P as well.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is that what you call him?
Mikey I don't.
P. Nobody does, but nobody calls me Mikey P.
Well, I'm started calling you Michael P.
I'm just tired. There's just so many Mikes in this world, man, that I'm like,
Wait,
I got to start.
Where's the P come from,
I got to start. It's my middle name.
What's the middle name?
Pierce.
I'll make you guess. Yeah, you can just guess throughout the show.
I said Pierce.
Yeah, that's not it.
Peter.
No. No, he's a Paul.
Michael Peter Johnson.
He's a Paul.
No.
The Apostle Paul.
Anyhow, we're live from Flowery Branch. Atlanta Falcons will take the field in about an hour and a half. You'll start seeing some of those guys coming out and getting loosed. You know, the extra rep guys. I always love to see it. The extra reps for the linemen a lot of times come in the weight room, at least these days. But you'll see, like, returners come out and get a couple punts, you know, before practice. You'll start getting linebackers working under the chutes.
Mike really enjoys that part of practice because he's like, yeah, I know what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. I like the part of practice before the players go on the field where you got, like, the field guys and they're dragging the water off the field. And I was just watching that. I was like, yeah, I wonder we'll see what technique he's – because I used to do Parks and Rec. And I wonder what technique he's using on the field to drag the dew off of the field.
Hey, everybody's got a job at training camp.
That's right.
I mean?
It's so funny because everything is such a more massive deal when you put it in terms of it being in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? You see like three guys walking around on the field and they're just having a conversation. And they look like they're just talking, kind of looking at the ground. And then you go, they're probably checking the toughness of the turf and trying to get an idea for if they're going to go indoors at any point because it rained last night. And like when you think of that and think, you know, there's probably 10 people tweeting about the grass saturation, all that. And you're like, dude, this is a big deal. It's the NFL.
You guys laugh, but every time we get to a stadium when we're on the road, Arch and I always walk out on the field. It's like my thing. I'm like, let's walk on the field.
It's y'all's pregame ritual.
It's like
together.
Our ritual. It's like.
You have a pregame ritual?
Yeah.
With Arch.
Yeah. And
that's
so
cute.
And so when we're on grass, I'll be walking around, I'll step on him like, I don't know, Arch, I think somebody might slip on this.
Why do you have a pregame ritual? I don't understand. Like for luck or what?
I'm a creature of habit. I want to have a routine. That's my routine. I like to walk on the field. I like to test out the turf.
There used to be a guy that worked in the front office for the Falcons that wore sweatbands and football gloves on the sidelines. He worked upstairs. But it always cracked me up. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you trying to get in the zone, bro? Like, what are you doing? Like, you act like you're about to fly down as the R3 and make a tackle on the kickoff.
This guy also would run over other actual coaches coming out of the tunnel. And then
I'm just saying, then, don't be that guy. He is. That's
on,
all I'm saying.
I'm not being that guy walking on the field, walking
you got
around.
Pre-game, certain things you got to do.
If you do everything the same, when your job matters, you do everything the same that leading up. You'll do your job well. You'll be in sync.
That's also how serial killers find you.
Yeah. That's a good
point. You need to mix it up.
You got to mix it up. You got to take a different route.
You're too predictable.
I'm going to tell you something.
Just saying.
If you're trying to put Squid Billy on your hit list, you better come ready to go.
I'm just not sure I realize.
Tell you something. I'm locked and loaded most times.
I'm not sure I realized that you had a pregame routine.
Well, I just like walking down there and checking out the field, checking the environment, just like getting the flow. It's kind of a thing. I'm not the guy.
You put your fours up in the fourth quarter too. I'm just checking.
All right. I get the fourth quarter readout. I get the readout for Wes.
Do you have a pregame playlist in your ears? Do you wear the?
I do make a playlist every year.
Stop it! Stop it right now.
I do.
I do. Do you make a playlist for each?
Each season?
Yeah.
Yeah. Each season.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was gonna say each
Please.
City.
Not the city, but each season.
So you don't have like a Miami playlist, because that a Miami playlist could be very different than like Green Bay.
No, I don't do a Miami playlist. I just pick songs that
you're feeling.
Yeah.
You gotta get this guy.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not the guy. I'm not the PR guy who's got sweatbands on screaming at referees in the middle of games.
I'm making sure you're not.
I scream at the referees from the radio booth, thanks to Arch and Wes.
The Braves lose 7-0 yesterday. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean.
I used to take my shoes off.
I can't deal with this
He's
guy
still
right
going.
Now.
This,
I did.
If I had a nickel for every time I had to say that on this show, Nicky. He's still going. He's still going.
When I wasn't spotting and I was just producing, I would stand up and my feet would get sore, so I would just take my shoes off.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's when you need a Zero Res in the booth.
The Braves back-to-back wins to start the month of August, Thursday and Friday against the lowly Marlins, who look nothing like they did 2 weeks ago, and yet over the weekend – you get a 3-4 loss on Saturday, which, listen, it still stands. You're not winning many games when the other team scores four runs. And then yesterday, you lose 7-0. You did welcome back Max Fried to the fold. But I brought it up earlier, Bo. You were kind of talking me off the ledge a little bit. Eddie Rosario not been great recently. And a lot of guys, honestly, yesterday not great. Even though the hits are more plentiful than they were a month ago, it still resulted in zero runs yesterday and a tough back-to-back losses to the Marlins.
Yeah, look, those kind of things are going to happen here and there. You rolled off a few in a row. I think you won like four or five in a row. And then you lost a couple games of the weekend. I thought the game Saturday night could have went either way. It was disappointing to lose that game. But you almost – yesterday was rough. You don't score. Cabrera looked really good against you, while Max Fried, our guy, struggled to locate. So that was rough. But – the reality of the situation is you got Milwaukee coming back in here. It's a very good team. The series will start tomorrow. So just get your head clear, reset. And it's hard sometimes. I said this today. It's hard sometimes when you're playing these teams that have basically cut bait with so many players and
right.
They've brought up young guys. All of these guys, this is kind of, you know, this is their moment on this team. They got to go make a name for themselves. So I'm not saying they're more motivated than you, but you don't know them as well as they know you. And they're out there trying to earn their keep, and you're trying to win a pennant. So it's a perfect storm. Don't take too much out of it.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to. Listen, it's just disappointing, and I think that a lot of Braves fans feel like that. They'll have the day off today. You'll get a three-game home set against the Brewers coming up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you hit the road for a West Coast swing that really – it's going to be an important run. You'll get three against the Rockies, four against the Giants, and three more against the Angels before you have another day off.
But that's a good road trip, West Coast. Those are teams that are all kind of been struggling,
all
very beatable.
Yeah, all pretty beatable right now. Let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
With In the Huddle on the Morning Shift.
Jaden Daniels is going to be playing in the Commanders' first preseason game against the New York Jets, who Bo is obviously not high on at this point. The number two pick in the draft. Decision-making that I've been really impressed by, not just throwing, but playing the position. The coverage goes to here. I got a matchup I want to go to here. That's Dan Quinn talking about Jaden Daniels, the skill work and the processing work he's been very impressed with. We will, and honestly, I think, guys, and y'all can both touch on this, Nikki, it's – it's nice and a breath of fresh air to hear somebody say that a rookie quarterback, a starting quarterback, is going to be playing in a preseason game, because we're all just kind of waiting to see what these guys are. And time after time, nope, he's not playing. We're not going to see Caleb Williams, but I'm ready to see some starting quarterbacks.
I am too. It's a Cliff Kingsbury offense too, which is always
point.
Fun.
Great point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be able to air it out a little bit.
Yep. Right? Air it
spread
out.
Them, see what Jaden Daniels can do.
Well, look, Dan Quinn gets a lot of credit because he is the guy that kind of gave the resurgence to Kyle Shanahan's career. He wasn't afraid because he said, that guy's offense has always gave me trouble. Now, DQ obviously has played against the Cardinals when Kingsbury was there, so he knows what his offense did to him, gave him trouble. I always thought that Jaden Daniels, to me, was my favorite of the rookie quarterbacks in this draft class, and it looks like he has done nothing to ruin that thought by what Dan Quinn's a guy I know well, I trust.
Well, real quick, I mean, Marcus Mariota's been taking snaps with the ones, but there's never been any fear, I think, from anybody that Marcus Mariota's going to be the starting quarterback when this team rolls out in week one.
I'm going to tell you something. If you – and this is not a knock at Marcus Mariota, but if you are having to rely on him being your starter when you just drafted Jaden Daniels and what, two or three overall, you might be second-guessing the draft pick you made.
I was also going to say, Mike, that their offensive line gave up 23 sacks last year.
It's definitely an issue. It's definitely an issue. Well, it's way more than that, too. I don't know what the number is, but their starting quarterback last year,
Sam Howell.
Yeah, Sam Howell was getting tattooed. I mean, they might have given him 23 in one game at one point, it felt like. So.
He did, in defense, and I don't like doing this because I don't want him to get spoiled over there, but in defense of the offensive line, he did have the tendency to hold the ball.
Oh, he was burping the baby all day. He's just burping the baby back there.
A tick or two or three too long, and that caused some of those sacks as well.
Listen, go Uncle Rico back there and throw that pigskin. All right, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need you back there burping the baby.
You know what? Block the guy in front of him.
A couple pieces of news coming out of Tennessee, out of Nashville. Quandre Diggs reaches a one-year deal, and DeAndre Hopkins won't need surgery. Just only out several weeks. That is a guy who terrorized Atlanta. He'll be in the fold, and that's a new-look team this year as well, too, that I think a lot of people can do a lot of good things.
So. With him, he's got Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd, too.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch what that passing attack does look like with those three.
That's a good point. Well, not just with those three, but with Will Levis in his second year, what Brian Callahan's going to do. You know, that we have gotten accustomed to what Tennessee Titan football looks like. I don't think it's going to look like it has in the past. There's no Derrick Henry. There's no Mike Vrabel.
I was going to say, I mean, Nate Washington was probably the last receiver Tennessee had that did something decent.
That's a great point. A.J. Brown was there for a little bit. Don't forget that. But he's definitely a lot better in Philly than he was in Tennessee. Yeah. All right, we got to head to break. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. When we come back, it's the top 100 list that set the world on fire over the weekend. Patrick Mahomes. Coming up on Mic'd Up. It's the Morning Shift live from Flowery Branch, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As you get older, you kind of appreciate the grind a lot more.
Back to Falcons Training Camp
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bo's losing it. We're live from Flowery Branch. Mike, Bo, and Nicky Noto Palmer. Rolling on here on the morning shift. We're going to talk and mic'd up in just a second about the NFL Top 100. Got some things to say, where they hit, where they miss. In the end, it's voted on by players, so it is what it is. Nicky, I made an announcement. I wanted to hit you with this. I made an announcement Friday on the show that I have actually volunteered to be an assistant t-ball coach on my son's team.
Hey.
He turns 4 in 2 weeks.
I don't know
what kind of adventure I'm in store for, and I don't know whether I should be excited or terrified, to be quite honest with you.
It is herding cats.
Yeah.
It is super chaotic.
Yeah.
And there were a few times us moms got in the dugout, and we coached. There was a few times, like, three dads were traveling.
Yes.
And two of my girlfriends and I, we covered the bases,
it's my
literally.
Turn.
And
it's my turn.
It was – there was a little bit of a power trip involved. We kind of loved it. it is – chaos. It's really cute. You're gonna have a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
And you're going to walk away being like, what did I sign up for? And then you're going to be like, you know what? There's a little slice. There's a little piece and a slice of heaven for me one day because of coaching four-year-olds.
Yeah. And listen, there was three options because I don't know any of these people. And we haven't even been to the field yet. But there was like three options when you sign up online.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to be a head coach? Do you want to be assistant coach? Do you want to be a team parent?
You always go assistant. Go right down the middle.
Go right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
You know what I mean? You don't want to be down here. You don't want to be up here. Like, I was like, look, I work in the morning, so I'll be off in the evening. You know, I can at least help out a little bit. I don't want to be that guy just sitting there with my own arms folded being like, it's your problem now.
Yeah.
Because I've been a coach before. But I think I'm excited. But, you know, that's
neither
here nor there.
So this is just strictly T-ball. Like, it's not coach-dad pitch, and then you get, like,
he's
and then they bring the T-ball.
Right. You know what I mean? He's not – he's not past, like, a big wolf ball bat yet. I mean, he can't even – you know what I mean? It's going to be interesting to see how he reacts because he doesn't even know what's going on. So
we played Summer Sandlot we played in the spring. It was so fun. They actually won their championship, and I've never seen my kid happier.
They
got a big A trophy, and it sits right next to his bedside table with his game ball and his Acuna bobblehead.
Yeah. You were literally living in the good old days.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
We're living in it right now.
Living in the good old days. I love that, man.
You're going to step into the gauntlet, but you're going to love it, Mike.
I am. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to this. Let's go ahead and hit a mic'd up.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
And if you have any thoughts on my future adventure in Little League coaching, you can hit us up at 929 Morning Shift on the Twitter. You can call us next segment for the wake-up call. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so it kind of lit social media on fire over the weekend, the NFL Top 100, which they have now done for 14 years as voted on by the players. It comes out over the weekend. Now, they kind of do this gradually. If you've been paying attention, three Atlanta Falcons were part of the list. Chris Lindstrom, I believe, was number 88. Kirk Cousins, 81, and Jesse Bates at 74. I felt like Jesse was a little bit low. Kirk Cousins coming off the injury, obviously just glad he's in the 100. Lindstrom, we can have that, you know, we can have that conversation from top to bottom. He is a very, very good player in what he was asked to do under Arthur Smith. I am curious to see how he fits with everything going on right now. The top 100, a lot of shock and awe when they get the countdown and they get to number four on the list because it is a future Hall of Famer and what almost everybody would tell you is the best player in the NFL, and that is Patrick Mahomes. Now, he ranked at number three last year. Coming up ahead of him was Christian McCaffrey at three, Lamar Jackson at two with a massive leap over where he was a year ago. He was at 70 a year ago. And Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill becomes the first person in the 14-year history to actually land the number one spot as a wide receiver. First of all, I'll get you guys' thoughts on Patrick Mahomes being at four before we get to Tyreek Hill. I was okay with it. I think that with this exact scenario, when you look at Patrick Mahomes coming at number four, I think when the players vote on these things, it's kind of like a lot of other things where there's just greatness year after year, right? Mm-hmm. It kind of lulls you to sleep at this point. It's like, you know Patrick Mahomes is going to come back and, you know, late in the game. You know that they're going to be in the playoff hunt. You know they might win a Super Bowl, and you know he's going to be really good. And it kind of – it's almost like – you said this conversation in Alabama land, and Nikki, I know you –
I was about to say, is this just like Alabama football?
It used to have the whole thing about, like you know, Nick Saban could win. And Kirby Smart, same way at Georgia now. So if you're a Georgia fan, I don't want you rolling your eyes. It's the same way now where you're like, you could literally award these guys Coach of the Year every year if you really, really wanted to. Patrick Mahomes, that's what I saw. When he landed at number four, I'm like, he's just lulling people to sleep at this point. Like, he's just supposed to be great, right?
Yeah.
I think it's garbage. I mean, he's the best player in he's the best football player there is right now. He plays the toughest position.
I was curious how you were going to text because it is players. And it's not a media member. Like, this
I know,
is players.
It's players. Yeah. I think when it's done, I think if you – their offense struggled last year.
Yeah.
None of which was necessarily Patrick Mahomes' fault, but they struggled. You look at his he had a very humble year for him. If you want to look at, you know, 27 touchdowns, 14 picks, 67%, 4,100 yards. That's great. They won another Super Bowl. That tells me that this was clearly done before the playoff run. You just look at the playoff run; it's phenomenal. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. He should be number one every single year. I think Lamar Jackson. I have no issues with Lamar Jackson, too. And, in fact, I think it should – if you're not going to have Patrick Mahomes at one, then how do you have the guy that won the MVP at two?
Yeah.
That's weird to me. The Christian McCaffrey, and I'll go ahead and just say this, and this is not a knock on the Cheetah, but how does someone that did what Christian McCaffrey did last year, scoring 21 touchdowns, having 2,000 yards from scrimmage, how do you tell me that he's three and Tyreek Hill is one? That doesn't make any sense. Christian McCaffrey was the best football player of non-quarterbacks.
Here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to look at this as if I was, you know, still voting in these kind of things. Here's what I will tell you. I think as far as his position goes, I think Tyreek Hill is the most dynamic at his position. And I think that's why when players look at him, he shoots up number one. You have to completely change the way you defend things when Tyreek Hill is that wide receiver. Patrick Mahomes, yes, he's a phenomenal quarterback and a first ballot Hall of Famer. Lamar Jackson's kind of entering that conversation. I'm not sure that Patrick Mahomes at this point in his career is that much better than him at Lamar Jackson. I think that Tyreek Hill is just that much better than all the other wide receivers, and he's just that much more dynamic at his position that I think that's why he gets the nod and gets the number one spot. I think the people that have to cover him know how much of a problem he is, and I think that's the reason he kind of vaulted into that one spot. So I don't agree with it, but I understand it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, but you're not wrong. I mean, by the way, Ding, somebody said the other day we as a society have stopped saying you're right and started saying you're not wrong to almost tell you that you're right.
I don't want to give you that much credit.
But I'm not giving you credit because I don't agree wholeheartedly with that.
I'm not going to give you that much credit because I don't like you. That's why.
It's a great point. It's an absolutely phenomenal point that person said to me that night. But I just think that as good as Tyreek Hill is, he makes that offense that much better. He makes Tua better. He makes Jalen Waddle better. But I don't know. I just look at what Christian McCaffrey took that offense to a different level for San Francisco last year. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. He is the only player that we can say is a first ballot Hall of Famer that's currently playing, and that there's no one even questions it. I mean, if you said, I think Trent Williams is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but if you said that, there's somebody going to be like, well, I don't know, and everybody can argue with it. You can't argue with Patrick Mahomes. Therefore, he is the best. He is the GOAT of this generation. That is coming up and playing right now, and so it just is hard for me. I just don't know how the MVP's too. I don't know how Chris Jones is behind Myles Garrett, even though I think Myles Garrett's a great player. Look at Max Crosby making the top 10 as well, but I just don't think, to me, Tyreek Hill can be one. I don't know how that happens other than they don't want to give it to Patrick Mahomes every year.
He's just lulling people to sleep.
I was going to say, Mike, if you were still in the locker room, and you had a vote, who would your vote be and why? As a player, not a media member. Put your helmet on.
I would have voted for Trent
headset.
Williams at left tackle. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I bet he would have. Either that or he'd voted for like Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
If you've got thoughts on the NFL Top 100, 404-726-0929. It's the wake-up call coming up. The morning shift. We're live from Flowery Branch. Your eyes and the ears of Atlanta Falcons training camp. Make sure you stick with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As you get older, you kind of appreciate the grind a lot more.
Back to Falcons Training Camp.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Bo's losing it. We're live from Flowery Branch. Mike, Bo, and Nicky Noto Palmer. Rolling on here on the morning shift. We're going to talk and mic'd up in just a second about the NFL Top 100. Got some things to say, where they hit, where they miss. In the end, it's voted on by players, so it is what it is. Nicky, I made an announcement. I wanted to hit you with this. I made an announcement Friday on the show that I have actually volunteered to be an assistant T-ball coach on my son's team.
Hey.
He turns 4 in 2 weeks.
Let me just
know what kind of adventure I'm in store for, and I don't know whether I should be excited or terrified, to be quite honest with you.
It is herding cats.
Yeah.
It is super chaotic.
Yeah.
And there were a few times us moms got in the dugout and we coached. There was a few times like three dads were traveling.
Yes.
And two of my girlfriends and I, we covered the bases,
it's my
literally.
Turn.
And
it's my turn.
There was a little bit of a power trip involved. We kind of loved it. It is chaos. It's really cute. You're going to have a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
And you're going to walk away being like, what did I sign up for? And then you're going to be like, you know what? There's a little slice. There's a little piece and a slice of heaven for me one day because of coaching four-year-olds.
Yeah. And listen, there was three options because I don't know any of these people. And we haven't even been to the field yet. But there was like three options when you sign up online.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want to be a head coach? Do you want to be assistant coach? Do you want to be a team parent?
You always go assistant. Go right down the middle.
Go right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
You know what I mean? You don't want to be down here. You don't want to be up here. Like I was like, look, I work in the morning, so I'll be off in the evening. You know, I can at least help out a little bit. I don't want to be that guy just sitting there with my own arms folded being like, it's your problem now.
Yeah.
Because I've been a coach before. But I think I'm excited. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
So this is just strictly T-ball. Like, it's not coach, dad pitch, and then you get, like,
he's
and then
four.
They bring the T-ball.
Right.
The,
you know what I mean? He's not – he's not past like a big wolf ball bat yet. I mean, he can't even, you know what I mean? It's going to be interesting to see how he reacts because he doesn't even know what's going on. So
we played Summer Sandlot we played in the spring. It was so fun. They actually won their championship and I've never seen my kid happier.
They
got a big A trophy and it sits right next to his bedside table with his game ball and his Acuna bobblehead.
Yeah. you were literally living in the good old days.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
We're living in it right now.
Living in the good old days. I love that, man.
You're going to step into the gauntlet, but you're going to love it, Mike.
I am. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to this. Let's go ahead and hit a mic'd up.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up.
On the Morning Shift.
And if you have any thoughts on my future adventure in Little League coaching, you can hit us up at 929 Morning Shift on the Twitter. You can call us next segment for the wake-up call. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so it kind of lit social media on fire over the weekend. The NFL Top 100, which they have now done for 14 years, as voted on by the players, it comes out over the weekend. Now, they kind of do this gradually. If you've been paying attention, three Atlanta Falcons were part of the list. Chris Lindstrom, I believe, was number 88. Kirk Cousins, 81, and Jesse Bates at 74. I felt like Jesse was a little bit low. Kirk Cousins coming off the injury, obviously just glad he's in the 100. Lindstrom, we can have that, you know, we can have that conversation from top to bottom. He is a very, very good player in what he was asked to do under Arthur Smith. I am curious to see how he fits with everything going on right now. The top 100, a lot of shock and awe when they get the countdown and they get to number four on the list because it is a future Hall of Famer and what almost everybody would tell you is the best player in the NFL, and that is Patrick Mahomes. Now, he ranked at number three last year. Coming up ahead of him was Christian McCaffrey at three, Lamar Jackson at two with a massive leap over where he was a year ago. He was at 70 a year ago. And Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill becomes the first person in the 14-year history to actually land the number one spot as a wide receiver. First of all, I'll get you guys' thoughts on Patrick Mahomes being at four before we get to Tyreek Hill. I was okay with it. I think that with this exact scenario, when you look at Patrick Mahomes coming at number four, I think when the players vote on these things, it's kind of like a lot of other things where there's just greatness year after year, right? Mm-hmm. It kind of lulls you to sleep at this point. It's like, you know Patrick Mahomes is going to come back and, you know, late in the game. You know that they're going to be in the playoff hunt. You know they might win a Super Bowl, and you know he's going to be really good. And it kind of – it's almost like – you said this conversation in Alabama land, and Nikki, I know you –
I was about to say, is this just like Alabama football?
It used to have the whole thing about, like you know, Nick Saban could win. And Kirby Smart, same way at Georgia now. So if you're a Georgia fan, I don't want you rolling your eyes. It's the same way now where you're like, you could literally award these guys Coach of the Year every year if you really, really wanted to. Patrick Mahomes, that's what I saw. When he landed at number four, I'm like, he's just lulling people to sleep at this point. Like, he's just supposed to be great, right?
Yeah.
I think it's garbage. I mean, he's the best player in he's the best football player there is right now. He plays the toughest position.
I was curious how you were going to text because it is players. And it's not a media member. Like,
I know, it's players. Yeah. I think when it's done, I think if you – their offense struggled last year.
Yeah.
None of which was necessarily Patrick Mahomes' fault, but they struggled. You look at his; he had a very humble year for him. If you want to look at, you know, 27 touchdowns, 14 picks, 67%, 4,100 yards. That's great. They won another Super Bowl. That tells me that this was clearly done before the playoff run. You just look at the playoff run; it was phenomenal. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. He should be number one every single year. I think Lamar Jackson is I have no issues with Lamar Jackson too. And in fact, I think it should. If you're not going to have Patrick Mahomes at one, then how do you have the guy that won the MVP at two?
Yeah,
That's weird to me. The Christian McCaffrey, and I'll go ahead and just say this, and this is not a knock on the Cheetah, but how does someone that did what Christian McCaffrey did last year, scoring 21 touchdowns, having 2,000 yards from scrimmage, how do you tell me that he's three and Tyreek Hill is one? That doesn't make any sense. Christian McCaffrey was the best football player of non-quarterbacks.
Here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to look at this as if I was, you know, still voting in these kind of things. Here's what I will tell you. I think as far as his position goes, I think Tyreek Hill is the most dynamic at his position. And I think that's why when players look at him, he shoots up number one. You have to completely change the way you defend things when Tyreek Hill is that wide receiver. Patrick Mahomes, yes, he's a phenomenal quarterback and a first ballot Hall of Famer. Lamar Jackson's kind of entering that conversation. I'm not sure that Patrick Mahomes at this point in his career is that much better than him at Lamar Jackson. I think that Tyreek Hill is just that much better than all the other wide receivers, and he's just that much more dynamic at his position that I think that's why he gets the nod and gets the number one spot. I think the people that have to cover him know how much of a problem he is, and I think that's the reason he kind of vaulted into that one spot. So I don't agree with it, but I understand it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, but you're not wrong. I mean, you're, and by the way, Ding, somebody said the other day, we as a society have stopped saying you're right and started saying you're not wrong to almost tell you that you're right.
I don't want to give you that
but
much
I'm
credit.
But I'm not giving you credit because I don't agree wholeheartedly with that.
I'm not going to give you that much credit because I don't like you. And
it's a great point. It's an absolutely phenomenal point that person said to me that night. But I just think that as good as Tyreek Hill is, he makes that offense that much better. He makes Tua better. He makes Jalen Waddle better. But I don't know. I just look at what Christian McCaffrey took that offense to a different level for San Francisco last year. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. He is the only player that we can say is a first ballot Hall of Famer that's currently playing, and that there's no one even questions it. I mean, if you said, I think Trent Williams is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but if you said that, there's somebody going to be like, well, I don't know, you know. And everybody can argue with it. You can't argue with Patrick Mahomes. Therefore, he is the best. He is the GOAT of this generation that is coming up and playing right now. And so it just is hard for me. I just don't know how the MVP's too. I don't know how Chris Jones is behind Myles Garrett, even though I think Myles Garrett's a great player. Look at Max Crosby making the top 10 as well. But I just don't think, to me, Tyreek Hill can be one. I don't know how that happens other than they don't want to give it to Patrick Mahomes every year.
He's just lulling people to sleep.
I was going to say, Mike, if you were still in the locker room and you had a vote, who would your vote be and why? As a player, not a media member. Put your helmet on.
I would have voted for Trent
headset.
Williams at left tackle. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I bet he would have. Either that or he'd have voted for like Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
If you've got thoughts on the NFL Top 100.
He was 100, wasn't he?
404-726-0929. It's the wake-up call coming up. The morning shift. We're live from Flowery Branch. Your eyes and the ears of Atlanta Falcons training camp. Make sure you stick with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.